Good morning, Nexus Online, and welcome to Nexus Season 11, Nexus in Exile. Here we go, getting started on a brand new season. The fall is here, and we're underway. And the thing is, normally, I think for many of us, a new season, a new fall, it feels fresh and exciting. It's the verge of a new year. It feels that way for many of us. But this year is anything but ordinary. Instead of excitement, I think many of us are feeling anxious. We're feeling stressed, we're feeling fatigued. And so I wanted to begin our 11th season together with a sermon for us, for those who are feeling worn out, run down, weary. Because I don't think I know anyone who at least isn't a little run down by the past 6 months. I mean, a whole lot has come at us so quickly. It has been said that we're living through at least 5 crises at the same time. You've got COVID, of course, a global health pandemic. You have our climate crisis. We're seeing the wildfires in California right now. The racial justice crisis that we're living through. There's an economic crisis. There's a political crisis, at least south of the border. And none of that even touches whatever personal crisis you might be feeling right now. I mean, how could anyone not be feeling at least a little bit stressed and fatigued, a bit undone at this moment? We are a worn out people. And so for those who feel that this morning, I want to begin our 11th season here this morning. I want to bring you words from Jesus. This comes from Matthew 11 and verses 28 and 30. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, Jesus first delivered these words to a people who were also exhausted and burdened. I mean, they were living under a colonial foreign power. Almost their entire history had been spent in either exile, slavery, some kind of bullying, harassment from neighbors. And so they're weary of it all by the time we get to Jesus' time. They're weary of the stop and frisk policies. They're weary of having the knee of an empire on their neck. And it is to these people that Jesus says, "Come to me. I want to give you rest." And what was true for them, I think, is true for us as well. And so this morning is for the tired, the burdened, the worn out, the stressed. Hear these words from Jesus, and I hope you can hear it from him and not just me, some preacher guy, but for you, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Of course, this doesn't mean that Jesus is some sort of magical genie in a bottle who's going to make everything miraculously and instantly better. Rather, no, it's an invitation to rest and lightness in a hard and wearisome world. And I don't know about you, but I could use that. I need that. And yet, finding my way into that lately, it hasn't always come easy. How can we find this rest? What does that even mean? It's worth noting that Jesus uses the word here, yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Now, what does that mean? To me, that the only yoke experience I have is with eggs. Now, what does it mean? So Jesus, of course, was raised a Jew. He was raised and schooled in the wisdom and tradition of the Hebrew people. And so this idea of taking on a yoke, it has its place within his tradition. It turns out this yoke idea had to do with rules and laws around farming and plowing, which, as is probably obvious, is one of my areas of expertise. Okay, maybe not, but I did spend an entire day when I was in high school watching tractors plow, and surely that must count for something. You see, back in 1995, the International Plowing Match and Farm Machinery Show happened to take place in Waterloo Region. I bet you didn't know that was such a thing. Well, now that you know, it is. It is North America's largest outdoor agricultural and rural expo. It's usually held in late September, so like a week or so from now. It attracts more than 80,000 visitors a year. Now, it features a beauty pageant, which, why is it we still do those? Anyway, a beauty pageant. It also has a tent city with all this farm gear. It features an RV park and, of course, plowing matches. Now, as fortune would have it, someone in my high school, someone in authority, I don't know if it was a teacher, principal, who it was, they decided this would be a great thing for our entire high school to attend. And so the whole school boards this fleet of buses on a rainy September morning, and we spend the whole day there. We had the whole day on our own. Our only instruction was be back at the bus by like 2:30. And so we have the whole day, but it quickly became obvious after 10 minutes of exploring this huge farm gear that there was really nothing else to do but watch plowing matches all day in the rain. And I mean, it might have been one thing if there was like Farmer Joe was racing Farmer Bill and it was, you know, full of drama and excitement. Maybe there's somebody making commentary on it, but it wasn't. There was no sound, nothing. It was just one tractor at a time in the field plowing. And we stood there at the fence having no clue what was happening, what was going on. We couldn't tell if they were fast, if they were slow. It was an entire day of watching tractors plow. And so a word of encouragement, of course, to our high school students. This isn't an easy year. You're going to be kind of sequestered in the same classroom all day, which won't be easy, but at least you don't have to go to the international plowing match. To this day, that is my only experience with plowing. Now, I know that might surprise some of you. I mean, look at me. I just have a certain sort of sturdy farmhand look to me, but it seems Jesus here is picking up on some kind of farm analogy, because what I didn't realize until recently is that within the Hebrew law, there are some laws about farming, plowing. Now, here's one of them. It comes from Deuteronomy 22:10. And for this occasion, I think I prefer to use the King James Version because it kind of gets at what I think is going on here a little better than the rest. So we'll start with the King James Version and move over. But this is what Deuteronomy 22:10 says in the KJV. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Or in safer language, I suppose, do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. Now that seems like a weird law to put in writing. What exactly was going on? Now it probably goes without saying that in Jesus' day, they didn't have tractors. Big revelation there. So plowing was done with animals, and the yoke was this beam that was attached to the shoulders of two animals. And so it was put on their shoulders, and then it was attached to a plow or wagon. And so the yoke would carry this weight, and as they pulled on the wagon, it would weigh even more, but it was a way to keep the animals together. The yoke sat between the two animals. So the selection of what kind of animals you pair with the yoke apparently was given a lot of thought. Like, this was a big deal. For example, you probably want to keep similar animals together. Ox with ox, donkey with donkey. Why is that? Well, it actually seems this law is actually about treating animals kindly. To be yoked together, you need animals to be about the same size or strength. If you've got one animal that's way taller than the other, the yoke is going to lean down onto the smaller animal, putting a greater burden on the smaller, presumably weaker one. Or if you have one animal that's stronger, it's going to pull ahead and have to carry the weight of the other animal with it. And so, of course, it's going to take the brunt of the work. You want animals of the same size and strength, also of the same temperament. And of course, donkeys don't have the greatest reputation. They can be stubborn, they can be strong-willed, which would frustrate the more reliable ox. And so the law exists here as like this animal protection clause. Don't put a donkey with an ox because it's going to frustrate the ox. The ox will end up doing all of the work. Not only is it stronger, it's going to be weighed down by the weakness and stubbornness of the donkey. And to me, I like to think that this helps us get underneath what Jesus is saying here. I think what Jesus is getting at is essentially this. You be the ass, I'll be the ox. Take my yoke on you and I'll be the one who does the heavy lifting. It will be light because I'm going to carry the load. I'm going to do the majority of the work. All you need to do is come along and learn from me. I'll do the heavy lifting. And so the invitation comes to those of us who are feeling like we're carrying a burden. And my guess is that all of us do to some extent right now. I mean, whether it's because of one or multiple of these crises we're facing together right now, or whether it's just the weight of carrying what seems like the domestic responsibilities at home, just trying to keep your head above water at home these days, I think many of us feel weary and worn out. I know I do. I mean, do you ever have one of those days when just nothing seems to go right? I had one of these days yesterday. My intention was to film this sermon out in the wild, and so I spent all day yesterday filming out by the Grand River, out by a farm, because we're talking about farms, out on this hiking path, and I spent all day filming out there doing this sermon several times. I get home and I start editing, and the sound is just atrocious. And then I bring it over to Dave's to see if he can rescue me, and he's like, Brad, this is beyond redeemable. And then, of course, I try to film it last night here like this, and oh, everything seemed to go wrong. And then the Raptors lose and go out of the playoffs. It was just one of those days. Nothing went right. I mean, I'm sure we've all had days like this. In fact, I'm inclined to think that over the past 6 months, we've probably had more than our fair share of them. And so Jesus' words here linger, to me at least. They linger and echo over the centuries. Let me give you rest. But how do we find that? How do we enter that? And you know, I'm not always sure, but maybe it can just speak from my own experience, what I've been experiencing over the past few months, because here's what I found in my own life. Faith for me so easily slips into becoming a head game. Can become an intellectual pursuit, and I often find myself sort of straddling this line with faith between sort of doubt and belief and questioning and trust. But what I think I'm learning is this. Faith as an intellectual exercise, it just isn't enough to sustain us over the long haul. At some point, we're going to have to bump into God. We're going to have to experience the sacred, the divine. And I think this is key to Jesus' words here, because Jesus isn't asking us to believe something. Jesus is inviting us into an experience, into a mystical encounter with him where we receive rest. It's an experience, not a head or intellectual thing. Well, what does that mean? Again, I can only really speak from my own experience here, but let me try to explain how I think this invitation comes and brings us into the realm of experience and mysticism. It takes our faith from here to here. You know, I knew a summer was coming. I just knew that I needed some sort of spiritual practice to sort of help guide and bring me through all this, because it was going to be a summer like no other. So I knew I needed something. And I remember Kristen suggested to me it should be something physical, kind of combine the physical with the spiritual. And so I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. That's the kind of practice I need. And so she suggested running, which I've done running before. So I took up running again. I actually got up to running 6 kilometers. I mean, it took me an hour to do it, but that's beside the point. So I'm running and I'm sort of doing the thing, but there came a point for me where I was like, I hate running. The whole time I'm running, it just feels awful to me. There's nothing spiritual about it. I'm not reflecting or pondering. The whole time I'm just running, I'm just trying to stay alive. So enough of that. And then, of course, Kristen said, hey, why don't we try mountain biking? We went back out to the Hydra Cut. And I tell you, I did this before. I used to go out with Marie and Jane occasionally out to the Hydra Cut. So Kristen and I went out there. But this time, something was very, very different to me about it, because it was either you're killing yourself trying to go up these switchbacks, or you're flying down these hills and going over stuff so fast, the whole thing felt like a blur. It was just a blur of green. And I was like, why am I doing this? Why do people do this? If you're looking for adrenaline rush, all you got to do is go to the grocery stores these days. That does it for me. So I was thinking the whole time, man, this is just too fast paced. To me, mountain biking felt like a good hike room. Now, I know that's some of your things. Fair enough. That's just how it felt to me. I'm like, nah, this isn't really it. And so I was thinking I would rather just hike through a place like the Hydra Cut. And then it struck me, why don't I take up walking? And that's what I did. For me, walking was just the perfect pace for spiritual reflection and prayer. And what I found as I began walking is that I could actually kind of quite naturally come to Jesus in sort of a prayerful manner, because on walking, I'm already thinking, reflecting, pondering. So it wasn't that big of a leap to take it from that into sort of bring it into the presence of Jesus sort of thing. And so it was an easy enough transition to make. And what I found is that over the summer, these prayerful walks, they've meant a lot to me. They've been very grounding and profoundly refreshing. And in several of my walks, I want to share a few things that have happened over the course of this year. But on my walks, one of them in particular has really stuck out to me. It's a walk I will not soon forget. You see, I need to back up. I'm allergic to soy. Well, maybe that's a little too strong. I am soy sensitive, so I've been told. Essentially, doesn't sit well with the old digestive system. And I tried some soy substitutes, but the reality is this, I love sushi. I love it so much. And so when I found out that soy sauce doesn't really work for me, I had a decision to make, and my decision was essentially this. I love sushi, so I don't really care if I don't do well with soy sauce. I'll deal with the consequences. And I have. I've done mostly fine, but my recklessness with soy sauce would catch up to me this summer. You see, one day this summer, we just learned that we couldn't have the Conrad Center for this fall. And I love the plan we've come up with here. This is great. But I remember on that day feeling like, oh man, just more bad news. So I was feeling sort of bummed out. I'm stressed. I'm fatigued. I needed some comfort food. So we ordered sushi as a family, and we had our sushi dinner, and Kristen and the kids, they took off. And so I decided I'm going to go on one of my walks. And so I took off after dinner. And the first 3 kilometers, I've got like this 7-kilometer loop. The first 3 kilometers, I'm doing great. It was a wonderful experience to sort of pour out my frustration and fatigue in the presence of Jesus there on my walk. But then in the middle of my walk, something happened. There was this moment about halfway through when suddenly the great weight of all that soy sauce landed. An immediate panic arose within me because I had left my phone behind. I didn't want any distractions. And so I have no phone. There's no one I can call for help. But this great weight, this great burden, it felt urgent. This was a pressing concern. I actually turned around for a few steps. I thought, oh, it's quicker to get home this way. And then I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, I'm at about the halfway point. I might as well just keep pressing ahead. It might be just as quick to get home this way. And so I press on, and then the urgency doubles down on me, and I am actually doubled over. I can't move. My body is telling me this can't wait. It will not wait for home. Now I'm in trouble. This is happening against my will. And so at this point, I'm just looking around, trying to find some sort of discreet location where I can maybe keep a shred of my dignity in all of this. And there in front of me, about 25 meters away, maybe 50, I spot a bush. It was like a burning bush, although it wasn't burning. My body was burning, but it was a bush. And I knew in that moment, that bush was going to have to do. Now, I'm going to skip the next part of the story, but suffice it to say, I exited from behind the bush a few minutes later, minus an article of clothing. I digress. So now I'm carrying on, trying to get home, but my moment of reprieve is short-lasted. Suddenly, I'm in the forest that I love to walk through, and again, things are feeling like trouble. This is labored walking. I am not feeling shipshape at all, but I know I need to press ahead, keep moving forward. I need to get home as I fear trouble is coming again. And I mean, this is labored walking at this point. This is no longer prayerful, meditative walk. This is a survival game for me. An all-out war between mind and body. Hold it together, body. Just get home. And then I make it out onto River Road. I've made it out of the woods. It has me just 2 kilometers away from home. I'm thinking, come on, you can do this. But every step is a burden. And now the shade that was sheltering me before, it's gone. The sun is blistering down on me with a scorching intensity, and things are rumbling again. And I'm not sure how much strength and determination I have left to keep going. And suddenly, up beside me pulls a car. And it's Kristen and the kids. in sensing, I think, that my walk wasn't going well, Kristen pulls up beside me and rolls down her window and she says, "Hey, how's your walk going?" And I said to her, "Not good, I lost my underwear." And to which she said with a sort of blank stare, "How exactly does one lose your underwear on a walk?" And I interrupted her and said, "Please, honey, no, not now, not in front of the kids. It's a long story." But then her magic words to me, "Would you like a ride? Do you want a ride home, Brad?" I was so tired. I was so weary. Yes, I wanted a ride. Of course I did. I needed rest. I needed help. And so I jumped into the car and the air conditioning on my body, it felt so great. And then Kristen had some water and I could have that. And all of a sudden I'm starting to feel better. It's a 2-minute drive to home. So I'm there, able to rest, recuperate, and prepare for walking another day. She had given me rest when I needed it most. That walk has served as this like bizarre, weird metaphor for me since then. I mean, there it was, burdened and weary, both mentally but physically as well. And along comes Jesus in the guise of Kristen, as he often does, with a simple invitation. "Do you need some rest? Do you want some rest? Do you want a car ride home? You know, it's cool in here. I have some water. Rest of the journey will be easy. You can rest and prepare for walking another day." You know, I think this is the same sort of idea, the same invitation Jesus is offering us. Are you weary? Are you heavy burdened? Come to me. I want to give you rest. I want you to take my yoke upon you because it's light and easy. You can find rest for your soul. You can learn my way, my path. When everything feels overwhelming, when life feels like too much to handle, too much to bear, we're to actually come to Jesus. "Come to me," Jesus says. And this is not just one of these sort of Christian cliches, I don't think. It's not like, "Oh yeah, okay, come to Jesus." No, it's like, actually do it. Come to him. And it's also not like this decision we make one time. I mean, I don't know about you, but I sort of grew up in a tradition where there was a moment, the moment, come to Jesus, whether it's, "Hey, I see that hand in the back," or "walk in the aisle," whatever it was. It's like there was a time you came to Jesus. This isn't that at all. You see, the invitation is to come to Jesus whenever we're weary and burdened. Whenever we're uncertain, whenever we're anxious, you can come to Jesus. It's something that we actually do. We come to Jesus. And I think this is where our faith asks us to leave the realm of the head and the intellect. It moves us into the realm of experience, a sort of mystical encounter here. "Come to me and I will give you rest." It's not that Jesus saves us once, it's that Jesus wants to save us from our burdens and weariness again and again and again. And I get it. I know for some this is like strange language. And I think for a lot of us living today, it's like, how does that even work? What is it? Who has the time for that? I mean, there are distractions everywhere. How do we actually do this? For me, in my own experience, my walks have been, I've sort of come to see them as my appointments with Jesus. You know, it's kind of like, if I don't schedule it in, like a lot of things in life, if I don't schedule it in, it's not going to happen. And so for me, when I go out walking, it's like, all right, Jesus, I'm going to meet you on my walk. It's an appointment. And maybe some of you need that as well. And of course, maybe walking isn't your thing. Of course, that's fine. But maybe something else is. I mean, maybe for some of you, you do like biking. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go on a long road bike out into the country roads. Jesus, I'll meet you there. Let's make an appointment. For some of you, maybe it's like, hey, my quiet time is when I'm, you know, knitting or sewing or crocheting. It's like, Jesus, I'll meet you there. Maybe for others, it's like hiking. I'll meet you in the woods, Jesus, at 3 p.m. Let's make an appointment. For others, it's like, hey, let me get a cup of tea. I'll meet you on the rocking chair on the front porch. For others, maybe it's the solitude of a quiet bath or making dinner on your own. There's just a sort of rhythm to that that allows you to be reflective. Whatever it is your thing that you can find sort of that slow enough pace to reflect, contemplate, be prayerful, be intentional about it perhaps. And for me, on this one particular walk this summer, it almost felt like I needed this embarrassing moment. And don't get me wrong, I don't think God orchestrated this humiliating situation, you know, on me. I don't think God orchestrated that. I did that to myself with too much soy sauce. But it just came as this perfect reminder to me. I went on that walk weary. Went on that walk burdened. Caught in turmoil of stress and anxiety, and my body was like echoing that and feeling way in over my head, struggling as I was, just a little past halfway in my walk, there was the invitation. Would you like some rest? Do you want to ride? And I know we Nexus people can be a skeptical lot. I mean, that's one of our strengths, I think. We're a skeptical people. I get it. But don't tell me you're not weary and burdened these days. I know you are, because everyone is. And so why not start with something simple like this? Jesus, if you're real, if you're there, well, here I am. And I'm weary. And I'm burdened, and you invited me to come. So if you're there, here I am. What I have found on all of my walking experiences is that when I make these appointments, I return home minus the burdens and the weight. And yeah, listen, I'm not going to try to claim some miracle. Sometimes that lasts like 5 minutes. Sometimes it lasts an hour, sometimes longer, but I always come back feeling rested, lighter. Now, if you want to say, Brad, this is just exercise plus some kind of subconscious working thing out thing that's going on. This isn't a mystical thing. It's just exercise plus something in your head. Whatever. Fine. I mean, God works in tons of different ways. I don't think God is opposed to working within the way that we're ordered and orchestrated. Fine, whatever. And I mean, if the only thing you get from this morning is that maybe going on a walk is good for our mental health, then so be it. Great. Go for more walks. But, maybe there is something more. And maybe Jesus really is inviting us and you come and find rest. In these times of burden and weariness and stress and fatigue, the invitation is there. Jesus, you invited me to come. So here I am. I'm weary, I'm burdened, but I'm here. There's this ritual we do as Christians who travel the Christian path. It's called communion or Eucharist. If you happen to have bread and wine with you, if you happen to have bread or wine substitutes with you, go ahead and take them now, because take them as a response to this invitation. And what I love about communion is that it's this tangible reminder that we are invited to experience God. It's not just that we think about or consider God, but with Communion Eucharist, we're invited to partake, experience, taste and feel, take, eat, taste. Know that in life we do not walk alone. And yes, life is hard. It's wearisome. It feels burdened these days, but there is rest on the journey, a lightness that can be ours. And so with bread and wine in hand, we remember the body of Christ was broken for us. The blood of Christ was shed for us. And we do this to remember that, to remember the invitation. Come, find rest for our souls. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.